When I was in university, Mother Teresa once came to University of Toronto to speak. It was outdoor, and then so many people came. So like Zacchaeus, I tried to go near the front so that I could meet her and then hear her. With excitement, I was waiting for her to come out. And finally, she came out, and she was very small. And her face was full of wrinkles. No style whatsoever. But there was an aura. There was some kind of atmosphere. Charisma. She didn't say anything, but there was charisma. So I was waiting for her to speak. And she finally came to the microphone and then started speaking. Only thing that she said was, love. That's all she said. Love your God and love your neighbor. Probably she spoke other things too, but that's what really touched me somehow, and then is still with me. That was exactly what Jesus said today. People saw Jesus' miracles. They were amazed at Jesus' power and miracles. And then they heard the teaching. They never heard something like that. Profound, powerful message. Chapter 12 of Mark is a whole bunch of arguments with Jesus. People came to Jesus to confront him and challenge him. All the important people, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, they all came to really put Jesus down, to confront him and trick him and trap him. So they started asking questions. The first one was the Pharisees. They were asking Jesus, should we give taxes to the Roman emperor or not? And the second group came, and Sadducees, they asked Jesus, is this resurrection really possible? They all asked these questions, not because they were interested in what Jesus had to say, but they wanted to trap Jesus. Trick questions. But Jesus was not trapped. He answered each one wisely and very profoundly. He dealt with each question very well. And today's scripture passage deals with the third question. But this question was different from two other questions. The scribes probably, when he first came, he came to challenge Jesus. But when he came and heard how Jesus responded, Pharisees and Sadducees, the scribe was totally inspired by what Jesus had to say. So he was really interested in what Jesus had to say. So he asked this question. What is the greatest commandment? And he was really interested in what Jesus had to say. Because he saw how Jesus responded to them wisely, and he genuinely was interested. And Mark records it this way. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. Seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is the first of all? He really wanted to know about the commandments. Right now, we don't live by commandments all the time, but at that time, commandment was the everything. They lived for commandments, they lived by commandments, and commandments was everything. Their life. So if I rephrase to this question in modern way, what is the most important about our life? What is life all about? What is the ultimate meaning and purpose of life. That was what he was asking. What is the meaning and purpose of life? Jesus' answer was very simple. Love. Like Mother Teresa, love your God and love your neighbor. As simple as that. Everything else is a commentary of how to do it. There was a famous teacher in Israel. His name was Hillel. Hillel's grandson was Gamaliel. And Gamaliel was whose teacher? St. Paul's teacher. And then he said this, what is hateful to you, do not to your neighbor. That is a whole Torah, while the rest is a commentary thereof. Go and learn it. Love, my friend, is the greatest thing. Love is the ultimate purpose one can pursue. Make money to love. Work hard to love. Get educated to love. What else is there? Love. God created us to love. When God created the world, every time he said, it is good. After creation, one after another, he said, it is good. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together, he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Every day he created the masterpiece of his creation and he said it was good. But only once he said it wasn't good. It wasn't good. That was when God saw Adam being alone. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I'll make him a helper as his partner. Then he created Eve. That doesn't mean that he just created another human being. He created love. While he created Eve, he created love. The relationship, he created love. And then Adam was the first human being who ever discovered love. Adam was the first human being who ever felt love. He felt love when Eve was created, Adam felt that love. So he said, this at last is bone of my bones and the flesh of my flesh. He felt love. God created love for them and Adam felt it. But soon after, when they committed sin, he lost that ability to love. This was what Adam said. This woman whom you gave me, this woman whom you gave to be with me, that woman gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it. Not anymore bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This woman you gave me. Already separation, you feel. Sin separates. Love unites. Jesus came to restore love that was originally given at creation. That's the only purpose Jesus came. If the world is full of love, he would not probably have come. But because the world is filled with hatred, violence, prejudices, all kinds of wars and killings. And the world is just total mess. And Jesus came because we human beings lost the ability to love. Jesus came to restore that love that was lost. Because if you have lost the ability to love, you become dysfunctional. You don't live like a human being. When you don't have love, you don't live like a human being. God created human beings to love. It doesn't matter what you do with your commandments. If you don't do them with love, useless. No matter how good you are, they are useless. Everything else is merely the commentary of love. That is what is the most important. The scribe somehow clearly understood what Jesus was saying. He said, "This is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." He understood the core of what Jesus tried to say. That's why Jesus said, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." And do you know how the story ends? The whole story ends with this. After that, no one dared to ask him any question. Period. Conclusion. Finality. No one could add anything to it. No more frivolous arguments. Finished. Love perfects it. The problem Jesus saw was they lost the ability to love. My friends, that is a problem. We have lost the ability to love. That is our problem. In that way, people become dysfunctional and the world becomes dysfunctional. We have to restore that ability to love. Ability to love. Then we have to go back to God, who created love, and ask God to give us that love. Experience love in that God who created it. Learn about God's love. The whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world was to restore that love. That was what John said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, we have to restore that love. When we don't find that love, we get lost. We become lost. God loves you. Receive that love. When you find God, you'll find love. Beloved, let us love one another. Because love is from God. Everyone who is born of God and knows God, whoever does not love, does not know God, for God is love. John is so profound. He doesn't say, God loves you. He says, God is love. The totality of God is love. God is love. You are not alone. It's not good to be alone. You have God with you. And you have sisters and brothers who love you, around you. They care for you. They care about you. There are parents who care about you. There are children who care about you. There are so many people around you who love you. And God loves you. You're not alone. But so many times, we feel so lonely. So many times we feel so alone. So many times we feel like we are an island. We are rock. So many times people suffer from this loneliness. And this loneliness was well captured by Paul Simon's song, I'm a Rock. Let me read that for you. I won't sing it, but a winter's day in a deep and dark December, I'm alone, gazing from my window to the streets below on a freshly fallen silent shroud of snow. I'm a rock. I'm an island. I've built walls, a fortress deep and mighty that none may penetrate. I have no need of friendship. Friendship causes pain. It's laughter and it's loving I disdain. I'm a rock. I'm an island. Don't talk of love. Well, I've heard the word before. It's sleeping in my memory. I won't disturb the slumber of feelings that have died. If I never loved, I never would have cried. I'm a rock. I'm an island. I have books and my poetry to protect me. I'm shielded in my armor, hiding in my room, safe within my womb. I touch no one and no one touches me. I am a rock. I'm an island. And a rock feels no pain and an island never cries. Very well captured the loneliness human beings experience in our life. Jesus came to restore that love that was lost. Jesus came to tell us that you are not an island. You are not a rock. I am with you. Let your love within you be restored. It's like a matchstick. And this metaphor I got from Tom Cho sent me podcast, yeah. Podcast. I was listening to it. A very interesting image. At the end of the matchstick, there's all the potential of fire. You just have to strike it. Then it burns. Within you, there is love, the potential of love. When it is struck, you will burn into the fire of love. I pray that you may be healed. I pray that love may be restored so that you can live meaningfully, joyfully, loving one another, and this world may be healed by that love.